So due to the snowstorm, there may not be as many of them out in the narthex this day, but there will be in the future. There's a table, and the list is in your order of service of ways we need help, everything from snacks to just helping watch the kitchen so it doesn't get raided for caffeine. Please think about helping and take a chocolate if you do volunteer. Thank you. Someone should plug in the computer. Do you have a plug back there? Somebody should at least push the close button on the screen. I can hold the pictures up, too. You just plugged the device into the audio jack. Hey.
There we go.
The story I have for you today is called Mole Music. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Dave. Mole lived all alone underground, and he spent his days just digging tunnels. At night, he ate his supper in front of the TV, and he went to bed. Mole liked his life, but lately, he had begun to feel like there was something missing. Then one night, on the television, a man played the violin. He made the most beautiful music Mole had ever heard. "I want to make beautiful music," he said to himself, "just like that man." So, the next day, he sent away for a violin of his very own. And every day, he checked his mailbox, and no violin, no violin, until finally, one day, after 3 weeks, it arrived. Mole was so excited. He picked up the violin, and he drew the bow, and instead of beautiful music, all he made was a horrible screeching sound. Mole tried again, and the violin still screeched, but maybe not quite so horribly. And he kept trying. After about a week, he could play one note, and then two. And before the month went by, he could play an entire scale. He learned to put notes together to make a simple song, and he continued to practice. Years went by. Mole got better, and Mole got better. He was happier than he'd ever been. During the day, as he dug the tunnels, he hummed the music that he would play that night. Now, Mole played even better than the man had that he had seen on the TV so many years ago. Sometimes he wondered what it would be like to play his music for people. He imagined himself before a huge audience. He imagined that he played for presidents and for queens and kings. He even imagined that his music could reach into people's hearts and melt away their anger and their sadness. Why, maybe his music could even change the world. He laughed at himself. How silly I am, he thought, imagining that music could do all that when no one has even heard it at all. But he played one more song, and then he put down his violin, and he went to sleep, and he dreamed beautiful, peaceful, musical dreams. The end. Thank you.
It's so awesome to be together with you here today to worship. If today is your first time with us, welcome. If you have not stopped by the guest table in the narthex, please do on the way out so we can keep in touch. In your bulletin, you'll also find a variety of events coming up, the wonderful Wednesdays. In particular, I want to remind you that the Second City Improvisational Troupe will be here March 4th. Tickets are on sale in the narthex for $50. I think if you use a credit card, it's $52, so get your ticket. In a moment, we'll take up an offering for the organization Standing on the Side of Love. 80% of what we collect will help this organization with issues regarding LGBT, people who are LGBT who are having problems, family LGBT issues, immigration, political action. Basically what they do is they go out, and when there's places where people need to be shown love, that's what they do. The collection will now be taken and received. Theology comes from the Greek word theos, meaning God, and logia, which comes from the word legion, which means to speak. And please forgive me if I slaughtered the ancient Greece. I know I'm old, but I wasn't around then. Today I want to tell you about how music changed lives. When I was a first-year teacher, I worked with students who were in the elementary grades. This was back in the Stone Ages, when students with special needs were separated from their age-appropriate peers. Many of the young folks in my class could not read, and there were a few who did not speak. Each week, we would have therapeutic music, and we would sit in a circle and sing. Their favorite songs to sing were written by a Chicago native, Ella Jenkins. She is known as the First Lady of Children's Music. You may know her songs from her many appearances on Sesame Street. We sang three of her songs until I thought I would never want to hear them again. Oh my, no more pie. No more pie. Pie's too sweet, I want a piece of meat. Meat too red, I want a piece of bread. And it goes on. Miss Mary Mack. Miss Mary Mack, 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 all dressed in black, black, black with silver buttons, buttons, buttons all down her back, 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 and it goes on. And my all-time favorite, did you feed my cow? Did you feed my cow? Yes, ma'am. Could you tell me how? Yes, ma'am. What did you feed her? Corn and hay. What did you feed her? Corn and hay. And it goes on. I did not understand as a new teacher how this had any benefit to my students. Then one day, when I called my kids to the carpeted area, on the first service I said I called them to the carpet, and I think people thought I was yelling at them. They were going to the place to sit in the circle. Timmy Gelman, who never said a word, spoke. His face lit up and he said, "No more pie, please." As I've said before in my testimonies, miracles happen every day. Then another student, Tom, said, "No, Mary Mack is better." Ellen Jenkins' music was important enough to them that they had their first conversation. We sang both songs, and I understood what benefit music had in learning for these wonderful young people. And from that day on, they spoke a little bit more each day. Many years later, I was at a conference about early childhood. Ella Jenkins was going to be doing a breakout session. My fellow teachers and I were like groupies. We skipped the other sessions to stand in line to make sure we could see her. When she stood on stage, for me, it was like seeing a music god or goddess. I was just in awe. I could barely breathe. Miss Jenkins began to speak, and she said in her slow, relaxed voice, "I'm gonna play a song. The first person who can name it can come up on stage with me." She hit one note, and I knew that note like I knew the back of my hand or my own name. I shouted out, no, I screamed, "Miss Mary Mack!" Ella jumped due to my volume and said, "Come on down." To this day, I don't know if it was because she was frightened or if I actually got the song right. I was transported, floated to the stage. There she was next to me, and we began to sing Miss Mary Mack. I talked with Miss Jenkins after the show, and I told her my story. She said, "My word, them songs are catchy to them young'uns. That's so good. That's so good." I met Miss Jenkins a few years later here in Rockford after a concert she gave, and she remembered me. We had another great talk, but that's a story for another time. Please stand in body or spirit, and we will sing hymn number 1014 in the teal hymnal, Standing on the Side of Love.
Thank you. have just a very short reading for you today. It's from a Washington Post article by journalist Andrea Sachs, and it's called Their Town, Cheap Trick Guitarist Rick Nielsen Rocks Rockford. When Rick Nielsen talks about his hometown in northern Illinois, you might expect him to riff on one of his rock band's hits. Maybe I Want You to Want Rockford, or Surrender to Rockford. The cheap trick guitarist and songwriter could even economize and simply invoke the group's 2006 album, Rockford. But instead, over lunch downtown, Rick went to Sinatra. If you can make it in Rockford, he said, you can make it anywhere. All together now, Rockford, Rockford, with an E. The musician has lived in the state's largest city off and on, but more on than off, for most of his 63 years. This was written in 2012, by the way, and 16 albums. He once tried to leave, attempting to emigrate to Europe in the early 1970s to, quote, drink beer and play music. But he ended up back where he started, in the birthplace of the Rockford red-heeled sock, the garage door remote, and the band that has sold more than 20 million records since 1974. I could have gone anywhere. I could have moved to Hollywood, said the father of four, whose wife is a local girl. But I stayed here. This is an authentic place, he said. It's got a lot of warts, but it's real. I love this place.
Yeah.